So we know there was a Great Recession of 2007 in capital letters. We kind of know how or even why it happened. But now that we're stepping away from it just a tiny bit, people are looking back and saying, whose fault was that? Goldman Sachs issued a not-me statement in their annual report. Then in front of the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission on Capitol Hill yesterday, bank executives dodged the who-is-to-blame question. Today that committee, it's kind of 9/11 commission about the economy, will set up more verbal fire at executives from Citibank and including their chairman of the board, Robert Rubin. We're joined now by Richard Bittner. He was a witness before the committee yesterday and was a subprime lender himself. He's now the associate publisher of Housing Wire magazine and author of Confessions of a Subprime Lender. We also are joined by Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic Policy Research. He has no qualms about assigning blame since he kind of saw some of this coming. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Richard, let me start with you and ask you about your testimony yesterday. Did they ask you the question, who is to blame?
Certainly. Absolutely. And much as I've told them and been telling others for the last 2 years, I think part of the motivation for me to leave this industry and to try to write a book was really about examining all of the players in the space. I think you could certainly say some had more to do with it than others, but at the end of the day, you've got to lay a certain amount of blame at the feet of brokers, lenders like myself, and certainly at the top of the list has to be the investment banks and the rating agencies.
Well, Dean, I'm really interested in kind of how we're in the middle of writing the history of this right now. There's already textbooks going out to high school students talking about the Great Recession of 2007, and I've kind of wondering if the chapter on this is going to say, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the Great Recession of 2007, or maybe it's going to be Alan Greenspan and the Great Recession of 2007. Here's what former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan had to say.
Let me just ask you, would you put this under the category of oops? Should have done it?
I'm sorry, of what?
Would you put this all under the category of oops, we should have done it?
When you've been in government for 21 years, as I have been, the issue of retrospective and figuring out what you should have done differently is a really futile activity.
That's Greenspan responding to Phil Angelides at the commission chairman yesterday. What do you think? Is it futile to look at who's to blame?
No, I mean, we need a clear accounting here, and there aren't really any mysteries here. I mean, this is kind of, we got the school bus driver got drunk, went into oncoming traffic, and all the kids died. There's not really a lot of confusion, a lot of mystery here, as much as Greenspan and others might try and pretend that. We had a huge housing bubble. That was easy to see. Now, this is 2020 hindsight. I was writing about this since the summer of 2002. It was Alan Greenspan's job as head of the Federal Reserve Board to prevent that sort of thing. It was totally predictable that when you get a huge bubble, my calculations, it grew to $8 trillion, you get an $8 trillion housing bubble, and that burst, that's going to lead to really big problems. None of that's rocket science. It's really about as simple as it gets, and the efforts to try and make it sound like this is a complicated thing, we have to figure out what went on here and there and there, there's a lot of details that are good to fill in. It's good to know who were the bad guys, selling bogus mortgages and all that. We want to know that. But Alan Greenspan's there front and center. He had the controls of the economy, and he just said everything's fine when it was really as clear as day that we had this huge housing bubble was going to burst and it was going to wreck the economy.
Okay, well, when you read in a textbook, let's use that example again about the Great Depression, they very clearly draw lines to certain actions, certain people in describing why that happened. And I assume that in the years to come, we're going to do the same thing with the Great Recession. So, Dean, who is to blame here? Where does that trail go to?
Well, as I say, front and center, Alan Greenspan should have seen the bubble. He should have taken the steps to counter it. His new line is, I was just the Fed chair. I couldn't do anything. I can give him a long list of things he could have done, first and foremost by talking about it. And I don't mean mumbling irrational exuberance. Presenting the evidence, have the Fed staff. There was nothing more important they could have done at the time. Document the case that there was a bubble. Challenge anyone who argued otherwise. Put it in people's face. I don't think you could have had Citigroup, Goldman, and all the others running around making bogus loans if you had the Fed saying, there's a really big bubble and you're going to lose a lot of money. He also could have regulated. They have enormous regulatory powers. At the end of the day, he could have raised interest rates. Not my first choice because that would have slowed the economy. But he could have raised interest rates, and he could have raised them in a way where he said, I'm targeting the housing market. I'm going to raise interest rates to 50% if I have to bring house prices down. I think there would have been a response.
Okay, Dean Baker of the Center for Economic and Policy Research says that chapter will be Alan Greenspan and the Great Recession of 2007. Richard Bittner, you were a veteran of the mortgage industry. You were a subprime lender yourself. What do you think? Do you think it will be subprime lenders and the Great Recession?
You know, I think at the end of the day, and boy, this requires more than a 30-second response, I've still put a lot of this on the back of the rating agencies. You know, when we 30 years ago went from having one institution on the corner be responsible for essentially, you know, underwriting a loan, you know, funding the loan, servicing the loan, and if necessary, foreclosing on the loan. This is, again, in the form of the local bank that people went to for their mortgages, to essentially breaking that up amongst five or six different players. The only group at the end of the day when securitization was invented that really had, you know, who was supposed to operate as a true independent arbitrator here were the rating agencies. You know, I still strongly believe at the end of the day that if investors did not believe that they were buying AAA-rated securities in the volume that they were, and that we would not have seen this mess as great. Now, is that in and of itself the cause? Of course not. As Dean mentioned, you know, look, the reality was, you know, we used to joke every time the Fed would make an announcement and lower rates or keep the Fed funds rate at 1%, we would say, hey, did you get the memo? Money's free. Pass it on. As sort of a running joke, because the rates we were offering the subprime borrowers at the time were ludicrous. In fact, yeah. Interestingly enough, we saw a price war that took place when the Fed started raising rates. What a lot of people don't realize is that the price for subprime loans really did not change in the marketplace. I used the example yesterday in testimony. You know, when the Fed funds rate bottomed out, we were offering typically a 100% finance loan for somebody with a low credit score in the 580 to 600 range at roughly 7.5% to 8%.
Right.
That interest rate in the course of the next 2 years, as the Fed funds rate increased by 4%, you know, increased maybe by a quarter to 3/8 of a point.
Well, it's that kind of stuff that keeps us from being able to point figures because it becomes complicated. Richard Bittner is the associate publisher of Housing Wire magazine now, but he was a veteran of the mortgage industry as a subprime lender. He's author of the book Confessions of a Subprime Lender. Dean Baker joined us. He's the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.